Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Good morning across the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. I'm Todd Albaugh. It is Thursday, the 23rd of March, 2023. 2323, how about that, Mr. Zommers, our producer, engineer, Mr. Aaron Zommers. Good morning to you, sir.
Good morning to you, too. Too bad we can't have 23-23-23.
I know, right? In the year 2323. That's 25-25, I believe. My singing voice, not in full force yet. Still kind of getting some coffee in me and that sort of thing. My coffee filters, I forgot to replace coffee filters again. So I had to wait till I got in here and walked over to Starbucks. So I'm still getting the caffeine into me, Mr. Zommers. So I need a little bit of that happy dance music today, I guess. I don't know.
That's good. You need some caffeine.
Yes. Everybody needs a little caffeine. Well, not everybody, but
I mean, I don't really consume caffeine, but
and good for you. God bless you for that.
It's a shame because I like coffee and I like tea, but I don't like caffeine.
Really? It just kind of does funny things to you or what?
Yeah, if I don't eat a meal like right with it, I'll get all shaky and nauseous.
Oh my gosh, really? Wow. I don't have that problem.
Usually people have that problem when they don't have caffeine.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Well, good for you. Better off if you don't have it. That's for sure. We are happy to have you along with us on a Thursday here. We're going to take a look at the news headlines this morning and check in with some agriculture news this morning as well across the state of Wisconsin and welcome your phone calls in today. It is 7 minutes past the hour of 8 o'clock. Let's take a look at your weather headlines today for this Thursday, the 23rd. It is going to be decreasing clouds in southwest Wisconsin, WRCE news from the center in Richland Center today. A high of 44, not too bad at all. And then for tonight, mostly cloudy, a low of 24. For then tomorrow, Friday, mostly sunny and a high of 47 degrees. Up in Wausau, WXCO, Bull Falls Radio today, partly sunny, a high of 38, mostly clear tonight, a low of 15, and then for tomorrow, Friday, sunny skies and 41 degrees. Over in Amory, WLAK, Lake Air Radio Land, partly sunny, a high of 36, and for tonight, mostly clear, a low of 14. Then Friday, areas of fog and sunny in the afternoon in Amory, a high of 44 in Amory on Friday. So, couple of nice days ahead, looks like, all in all. Maybe down towards south of Madison and then over to Milwaukee. It looks like there could be some weather systems coming in tomorrow night and Saturday. But for most of the state, at least where folks are listening to us live in Richland Center, Wausau, and Amory, going to be pretty nice over the next couple of days. So enjoy yourself. It is 9 past the hour of 8 o'clock. Here are a couple of news headlines, what you need to know on this Thursday, the 23rd. Later today, President Joe Biden will make his first visit to Canada since taking office to meet with Prime Minister Justin Trudeau and to address the country's parliament, according to the White House. Traditionally, U.S. presidents make a stop in the country's northern neighbor in the opening months after taking office. But COVID-19 restrictions and the war in Ukraine delayed Biden's first visit to Ottawa until more than 2 years into his term. It was an absolute slip-up. The delay hasn't appeared to have dampened relations with Trudeau, a fellow liberal who is closely aligned with Biden on many policies. Still, there are some areas of disagreement on trade and immigration that will be hashed out during the visit, set to occur today through Friday. If you can find it, Mr. Zommers, there's a great version of O Canada by Jim Nabors. Jim Nabors, former television star known as Gomer Pyle. O Canada. I'd like to hear a little O Canada this morning. Severe weather. It just doesn't stop out in California. California is experiencing major weather whiplash after a years-long historic media mega drought. Before the powerful atmospheric river storm this week, many people welcomed the season's heavy rain and snow that the state so desperately needed. But now, the storms keep coming and are leaving widespread destruction in their wake. A rare tornado hit a city near Los Angeles on Wednesday, injuring one person and damaging at least 17 buildings, according to officials. The estimated peak winds, 110 miles per hour, according to the National Weather Service, confirmed it to be the strongest tornado to hit the region since 1983. Two faculty members at a Denver high school were shot by a student yesterday, prompting a frantic search for the 17-year-old suspect who fled the scene after firing his weapon. Authorities said yesterday that they located a body a short distance from the vehicle connected to the suspect, but have not identified it at this time. The student suspected in the shooting was under a school safety plan in which he was patted down each day. Denver Police Chief Ron Thomas said during Wednesday's search, a handgun was retrieved and several shots were fired in the office area in front of the school. The shooting occurred away from other students and staff, Thomas said, possibly averting a much more tragic outcome. TikTok, back in the news. The CEO, Mr. Chu, is scheduled to appear on Capitol Hill today in what will be his first public testimony before Congress. For the last week, Chu has participated in near daily multi-hour prep sessions, according to CNN, as he readies to face a bipartisan grilling from lawmakers on a number of issues, most notably data privacy and security. Concerns about TikTok's connection to China have led governments worldwide to ban the app on official devices, and those fears have factored into the increasingly tense U.S.-China relationship. The Biden administration has threatened TikTok with a nationwide ban unless its Chinese owners sell their stakes in the company. Had a friend last night tell me I should be on the TikTok. So we like to see what goes on behind the scenes at the show. I'm not sure, Mr. Somers. Do we need to show people the behind the scenes on TikTok?
I don't know what we can show.
There really isn't much, is there? I don't know. We'll consider it. Back with more news after this. This is the Todd Allball Show, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show. It is now 15 past the hour of 8 o'clock. A little known fact, just when you want to find a good Jim Nabors tune, it disappears. I thought this would be pretty easy to find it, but Mr. Zomers is the best at finding cuts. But so far, Jim Nabors' version of O Canada, elusive. That surprises me.
Yeah, I'm going to keep looking, but I haven't seen it yet. I keep finding him singing our national anthem.
Yes.
But well, not the Canadian one.
All right, well, we'll see. You know who does a great rendition of that? Our friend Jeff Perry does a great Jim Nabors, O Canada. Maybe we'll just have him call in and do it for us. Anyway, the President Biden off to Canada this morning and to meet Justin Trudeau, the Prime Minister of Canada. You've been to Canada, Mr. Somers? Have you spent any time?
I have not.
Really? Fantastic country. Here's the thing. The first time I went to Canada was back in high school when I was working for WRCO at the time, and I accompanied the Hilltoppers Color Guard under the direction of Dick Newman from Richland Center, who's been on this program, of course. And we went to the Calgary Stampede Parade in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. And here's the thing about the Canadians that struck me first and foremost. How absolutely beautiful everybody was. I mean, I was like, I don't know, I was like 19, 20. And I thought, holy crap, everybody here is gorgeous. Male, female alike. There was not a bad-looking person in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. So, I mean, the people were nice. They were good-looking. And also, just beautiful countryside. The mountains out in Alberta. Oh, my gosh. Went to Lake Louise, Banff. It was great. So I've been out there. And then also been across the bridge there at Niagara Falls. Seen the falls from the American side and the Canadian side. But taxes. Holy cow. Lots of taxes in Canada.
Yeah, but you actually get health care, so...
Well, I've heard, you know, it's been a while, but I used to know a couple of Canadians. I guess I still know them, but they used to talk about, you know, yes, you got free health care, but sometimes you were waitlisted, you know, weeks for procedures.
So. Can't be worse than this.
Well, I mean,
where people are bankrupted for life or just die because they can't afford it.
Well, that's true. It's a prickly subject, I guess, but yeah, there are some things that are better, some things that are worse, but
right.
Anyway, it's Canada, but Biden's going to be there today with Justin Trudeau. Let's take a look at other news from our former president, Donald Trump. The grand jury that has been hearing evidence in the case pertaining to former President Donald Trump's alleged role in a scheme to pay hush money to an adult film star, that's Stormy Daniels, will reconvene today. A source familiar with the investigation told CNN expectations are high that the New York District Attorney Alvin Bragg, a Democrat, is getting ready to make a decision on a potential indictment against Trump any day now over the hush money payment scheme to the adult film star. Bragg has said little about the status of the probe or whether Trump will be even charged. As the investigation nears its final stages, sources say prosecutors are considering the historic nature of prosecuting a former president, an unprecedented act. In another blow to Trump's legal team, one of his defense lawyers is scheduled to testify Friday, that's tomorrow, in the Mar-a-Lago classification document investigation after losing an appeal. So we will see. We're going to keep monitoring this. We may or may not have breaking news today in terms of the former president. If it happens, if the indictment comes down during this program, we will certainly bring you that live today and talk about that a little more. Want to move this morning. I feel like we haven't spent enough time on Wisconsin's ag community, which is a fantastic part of our community. And I want to spend a little time here on a couple of stories by the self-proclaimed fabulous farm babe. Not my words, hers. Pam Yonke from the Midwest Farm Report has a great website, has a great radio show as well. Nobody more authoritative in broadcasting in Wisconsin than Pam Yonke. And she has a couple of great stories today I want to start on because, again, we forget sometimes, I think, as a lot of smaller family farms are going out of business and going under, unfortunately, and we have more of these kind of factory farms going on, you see fewer farms as you drive through Wisconsin. Lots of land, fewer farms. I've said before, growing up in southwest Wisconsin in Richland Center, a town of 5,000 people, and our family farm was about 12, 13 miles to the northwest of Richland Center on Highway 56. And if you, between on Highway 80 and Highway 56, between Richland Center and the farm, when I was growing up, there was probably, 15, 20 different farmers that you would pass as you went from the farm down to Richland Center. I believe there may be one active farmer on that highway now, between the farm and RC. So we're seeing fewer farms. And then when you do come upon an actual farm, it doesn't even look like a farm anymore. It's a huge, huge, huge buildings and looks like a farm implement dealership because a lot of these tractors and pieces of machinery are huge. And I get it, right? I get it that farming has changed and we can't be stuck in 100 years ago. People want time off. People say what you have now is you have brothers or brothers and sisters or children and parents coming together and forming, a company. Because farming is a business, of course. Always has been. But now you're seeing these larger farm units. There are still some small farms, which I think are fantastic. A lot of those are doing organic farming, particularly in dairy and meat. Selling those products to places like Organic Valley Dairy or Organic Valley in Lafarge, Cashton. And I think that's great. Big supporter of that. But the point is, as we drive through Wisconsin, we forget that agriculture and farming is still a huge part of our state, part of our culture, part of our economy. And so let's take a little time to talk about cheese. If you watched the Wisconsin Badger basketball game night before last, out in Oregon, where the Oregon Ducks choked. The Ducks choked. Choke a duck. The Ducks, they were ahead by like 8 with like 3 minutes to go or something. I was watching the game, and Wisconsin came back and won by 3. Great job by Wisconsin. So anyway, I was watching that game, and there was a sign behind the TV announcers. They said cheese curds are overrated, trying to throw a little shade on Wisconsin fans. And I felt bad for the kid because, a little good-natured ribbing, that's fine. I don't mind that. But the poor kid misspelled overrated, only had one R instead of two. And as someone with dyslexia who is not a great speller myself, I kind of felt bad for the kid because they really went after him hard on TV. you know, it's whatever. But the sign was cheese curds are overrated. But hey, I got a lot of people to talk about Wisconsin cheese on national television. And the announcer said, hey, they're not overrated. We've had cheese curds in Wisconsin. They were big fans. So it was great to have a little love on national TV. Also great to be Oregon. The Ducks. So here, this article from Midwest Farm Report, Panianki, says, register now, visit Cheese Con. You know, you have like Comic-Con and all these other cons, these conventions. There's actually a Cheese Con, stands for Cheese Convention. You can learn more about it by going to Cheese Con, that's cheese, and then con.org, cheesecon.org. To register now for CheeseCon 2023 and prepare to bid on the best cheeses in the country at the exciting reception and championship cheese auction set for Wednesday, April 5th. So coming up next month, join a packed crowd of your peers in the dairy processing at the lively event, whose proceeds support the Dairy Processing Scholarships and Educational Program at the Wisconsin Cheesemakers Association. Quote, each year this auction is a thrilling opportunity to honor the achievements of dairy manufacturers nationwide and pay it forward to ensure a brighter and stronger future for the industry, according to the executive director, John Umhafer. Get your bidding paddles ready and take advantage of this chance to make your mark in the support for next generation's dairy greats. This year's championship cheese auction features a gold medal cheese from the 2023 United States Championship Cheese Contest. And you can view the complete bid sheet, again, at uschampioncheese.org/2023auction. Kind of long there, but we'll try to post something about that as well. It's uschampioncheese.org/2023auction. Lists all these great cheeses that you can buy. Or at least bid on. Because some of these cheeses, it ain't cheap. They go for a lot of money, as well they should. And get ready for a friendly competition to follow with fellow dairy processors and suppliers to raise funds for the industry's future. For over 25 years, auction dollars have supported emerging dairy professionals with scholarships to help advance their education and build their dairy processing careers. Funds raised at the auction have also helped fund WCMA's popular training program for dairy manufacturers and suppliers and fuel donations to build a new world-class center for dairy research facility in Madison, as well as dairy pilot plants at the University of Wisconsin, River Falls, and South Dakota State University. So this connects directly with a story we had a couple weeks ago about U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin, who got, if memory serves, $7 million in an appropriation to put into the state's dairy program of which this is a part of. The art of cheese making, and it is an art and a science. In the Master Cheesemaker program here at the University of Wisconsin-Madison at the Ag School. This is an industry that young people can get into and do very well in if they're trained properly. And Wisconsin is positioned uniquely, and I would argue in the best in the country, to help young people go from being interested to providing scholarships to doing internships and apprenticeships, going to the Master Cheesemakers class, being involved with organizations like this, and really learning the craft of cheesemaking and how to judge it, how to taste it. I mean, you talk about, you know, wine tasters, you talk about coffee tasting, cheese is the exact same way. One of the really super cool privileges and opportunities I had in working for the people I did in the state Senate and Congress is working for people who represented so many cheesemakers in South Central and Southwest Wisconsin. And going to these cheese processing facilities, going into the cave where they're aging these cheeses. It's like going into a hospital ward. I'm not kidding. In order to go into a cheese cave where they're aging cheese, You have to put on booties and a smock. It's super cool. Cheese making. Come back and talk a little bit more about it. Take your phone calls as well. 715-388-7155. Back with more after this. This is the Todd Allball Show, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
It's payday. Get that cheese. We gotta get that cheese. We gotta get that cheese.
Welcome back to the Civic Media Radio Network. This is the Todd Allball Show. It is 8:33. Who is that, Mr. Zommers?
That is the song "Get That Cheese." Obviously by Too Short.
Too Short. That is not in my rotation playlist, but
yeah, me either.
Maybe it should be. Get that cheese. All right, that's fantastic. We check in with our wonderful meteorologist from Weatherology. That is the wonderful and talented Kara Foster. Kara, are you a fan of cheese there in Minnesota?
I love cheese. Yes, for sure.
is Too Short on your playlist? We play a little Too Short there. Get that cheese as the intro song.
I'm gonna have to add it on there, honestly, for my love of cheese, of course.
Right?
I actually have a friend who's like terrified of cheese, which is super funny.
Really?
It's like a weird, yeah.
Like a phobia?
It's so funny, like, yeah, it's kind of like she's gotten better with it. But in middle school, my friends used to like put slices of cheese on her pillow and it would scare the crap out of her. But she's better with it now.
I've heard of a lot of things.
Like slices of provolone. It's so funny.
Now, see,
don't make fun of her for it.
You should try to dial her up, and we'll have her on in our weather segment because I'd like to know about this more. I've never heard of anyone afraid of cheese.
I would love to do that. Yeah, no, me neither. I mean, she's gotten better with it now. She's a little bit better, but yeah, she still doesn't like eating it. But I'm trying to persuade her. I think she did try it once, and she didn't realize she was eating it.
Oh,
and
my
she was
gosh.
Like, oh, this is really good. And I was like, girl.
Did she freak out when you told her?
She was like, there's no way. There's no way. I was like, you're eating taco dip. Of course there's cheese.
I'm serious now. You get a hold of her. If she wants to be on the show, because I think this is a deep dive. This is a good 10 minutes
on
what happened here. All right.
She definitely doesn't have any relatives in Wisconsin like I do. So she doesn't really have that connection. But
see, it's not just weather at 8:30 you learn about. You learn about all sorts of,
exactly.
You know, behaviors of the world.
Phobias out there. Yeah,
some different phobias. Well, I hope nobody has a phobia of clouds because it looks like it's going to be cloudy today. But really, all in all, it doesn't look like too bad of a 24 to 40 hour period from what I'm seeing. Is that correct?
Yeah, I mean, truly, it's going to be really decent. I mean, today we'll see some clouds kind of move through, but we could see some pockets of sunshine. That's still a possibility. Also starting to warm up here today. We're going to be at 37 today in Amory, 38 in Wausau, and 44 over in Richland Center. As we head into tonight, it'll still be a little bit cooler, but it will start to warm up as we head into the following days. We'll stay clear, dip down to 14 in Amory, 14 again in Wausau, and back down to 24 in Richland Center. As we head into Friday, still more sunshine. I mean, we're going to jump up to the mid-40s throughout the central and northern portions of the state. Central or southern portion will still see highs in the upper 40s, maybe lower 50s. And then Friday night is going to be very interesting. We actually do see a little itty bitty system that will move through Richland Center specifically throughout that southern portion. There will be some snow showers possible. It's going to be very heavy snowfall since it's going to be kind of that very moisture heavy stuff. So it will be easy to melt. Kind of snow showers will continue into there. We'll still be in the upper 20s, lower 30s. So probably accumulation, like I said, will be more of that heavy stuff, but more on the lighter side, up to 1 inch is only possible. And then Saturday, some snow is still continuing in the morning. We'll transfer into some rain, but then we're still seeing highs in the mid 40s. So like I said, anything that does fall will most likely melt within the next couple of days. But throughout the rest of the state are just going to stay sunny otherwise, not see really anything. Then from there, everybody's basically in the clear. I mean, we're just going to stay sunny, highs in the mid to upper 40s, not looking at much else. Next week is kind of the same thing. It's a little cloudier on Monday, but still highs in the lower 40s. And same thing for Tuesday and Wednesday. There will be a little system moving through Tuesday night going into Wednesday morning, but it only seems to be a 20 to 30% chance. So we're not really expecting accumulation or anything like that. And still looking at those temperatures hanging around the 40s. So I think we're doing pretty well for the start of spring for sure. I'm meteorologist Kara Foster.
All right. Sounds good, Kara. We appreciate you. And yeah, not a bad forecast at all for early spring. Enjoy your day and have a piece of cheese. Enjoy.
I shall. Thank you. You as well.
Talk to you tomorrow. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Catch you then.
That is Kara Foster, our meteorologist, and she'll be back with us tomorrow at 8:30. So, wow, I learned something new, Mr. Somers.
Yeah,
and
me too.
Have you ever heard of anybody being afraid of cheese?
I can't say I have, except maybe Swiss cheese if somebody has really bad tryptophobia. At least I think that's what it's called.
Is that what tryptophobia? All right.
No, that's tryptophobia is, if I'm remembering the right one, fear of like things that have a lot of little holes in it.
Oh, really?
But Swiss cheese usually doesn't trigger that in people unless it's really bad.
Unless it's really holy. Also, the same thing happens if you go and have lunch with the Pope. A lot of holy cheese. Anyway, that's way too early in the morning. Yeah, thank you for that late rim shot. We appreciate that. Like Limburger. I'm not a fan of Limburger, but I'm not afraid of it. I just don't like it. I've tried it a couple times, but not my favorite. It'd be hard to live in Wisconsin if you had a phobia of cheese.
I don't think I've ever had Limburger, but it reminds me of this one episode of Rocky and Bullwinkle, right, where there were Limburger lilies, I think. These flowers that had such a bad smell that the country they were around, like on the border, nobody could get into it because they'd fly and the pilots would like die from smelling it and just crash the plane.
That's great. The Rocky the Flying Squirrel.
Rocky the Flying Squirrel.
I haven't seen that show in forever.
Me either, but probably more recently, I guess.
All right. Talking a little bit about cheese this morning, I'm going to wrap this up, and this cheese convention set for April 4th through the 6th here in Madison, Wisconsin. It includes access to over 300 supplier exhibits on Wednesday, April 5th, as well as two full days of educational seminars led by dairy processing experts, ample networking opportunities, and celebration of cheese industry excellence. I've been to this a couple of times. It's a really cool event. And if you're anybody who's in the restaurant industry or tourism industry, maybe in northern Wisconsin or anywhere in Wisconsin, and you just want to learn more about cheese, and also, as they say, it's a great networking opportunity. I think the cheesemakers that I've met in my travels in Wisconsin through my previous jobs in politics, some of the coolest, most down-to-earth, nicest people you ever want to meet. Very gracious with their time. Sid Cook comes to mind at Carr Valley Cheese here in southwest Wisconsin. Of course, the original plant in Laval, Wisconsin, but also has a facility or a cheese store in Mazamani. Go there and pick some up. Also in Mauston. Sid Cook, a guy from Wisconsin who is one of the few true master cheesemakers in the country and the world, recognized around the world, has had top world cheeses before, all right here in Wisconsin.
So you've been to CheeseCon?
Yes, I have been to it when it was at Monona Terrace several years ago.
Because I'm looking on their website trying to figure out how to register.
Yeah.
And it's saying that it's only for people who are dairy processors, exhibitors, suppliers, or in government or academia. But maybe government.
Maybe I snuck in under government. A very quasi-government thing.
Or maybe they had to change it recently or something. I don't know.
I don't know. Well, that's a good point to make. We'll have to figure it out. On this, it just says, it doesn't say you can't. It says it's open to anybody. But maybe that's...
I must be...
Well, I could be wrong too. Thing? CheeseCon.org. That's where you want to go. You can ask them. Not you, Mr. Somers, but anybody listening. But if you have an opportunity, it's a great thing, a great thing to go to and check out. Our cheesemakers in Wisconsin, good to take a little time to recognize and thank our cheese producers. I also want to talk a little bit about an update in spring turkey hunting, another big thing in Wisconsin. And a lot of people looking for their turkey permit. A lot of people already have them, But just so you know, in case you missed it, the Wisconsin, also from the Midwest Farm Report, Wisconsin DNR has begun selling their 2023 bonus spring turkey harvest authorizations. It started this week, and there is a designated date for each zone. Today is the 23rd, a Thursday, and today is Zone 4. Tomorrow, if you live in Zone 5, and then they're still open, if you want to do 1, 2, or 3, you can still try to get permits then. But these are for bonus permits. So if you missed out, or you want additional harvest authorizations, if you missed the spring turkey deadline last December, you can purchase bonus authorizations this week. You check your turkey zone map and spring turkey bonus harvest authorization availability to see if harvest authorizations are available for the period and turkey zone that you wish to hunt. It's a deal if you want one and if you can get one. The bonus harvest authorizations are $10 for residents, $15 for non-residents. Both residents and non-residents will have equal opportunities for purchases. Hunters can purchase bonus authorizations at a rate of one per day until the zone and time period are sold out or until the season closes. Bonus harvest authorization purchases will not affect preferred point status for future spring drawings. Again, 1, 2, and 3 happened on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, but you can still look to see if there are permits available. Zone 4 opens today and Zone 5 tomorrow. There are no bonus turkey harvest permits for Zone 6 and 7 this year. The Go Wild system will use an online queue to assign random numbers to customers who enter the site between 9:45 and 10 a.m. There is no advantage for entering the site prior to 9:45, and customers who join after 10 will be added to the queue in order of arrival. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources recommends that turkey hunters interested in purchasing a conservation patron license do so prior to make the bonus harvest authorization process as quick as possible. And so there you go. If you want more information, you can go to Turkey Hunting and Management's website. And let me get the exact website for you. Dial it up here. It is dnr.wisconsin.gov. Again, dnr.wisconsin, spelled out, .gov. That'll take you to the Turkey Hunting and Management section where you can sign up for a bonus permit if they are still around. You ever go on turkey hunting, Mr. Zommers?
Yeah, turkey hunting's one of my favorites.
Me too. Was a big deer hunter for many years and then switched over, and I haven't gone turkey hunting in quite some time. But I find it to be the coolest thing because I like calling in the turkey and then having them talk back to you.
Yeah, definitely. I just like any hunting, of course, you get the whole thing of being able to sit out and be there for the sunrise and things like that. Spend some time with family if you go together. And then, yeah, calling turkeys, having them call back is really cool. Or you call it, you hear them gobble way off, and you're like, oh, there they are. And then you try and find a spot that's a little bit closer and get set up really quick. So it's more active than deer hunting. You get the little bit of running around. And also, it's a lot easier to clean a turkey.
Well, that's true. That's very true. It is easier to clean a turkey.
Plus, you can just carry it out.
Well, you don't have to break your back or whatever, get a sled to carry a turkey out. If you did, that'd be a darn big turkey. It's a great tradition and parts about Wisconsin's heritage that I think we don't take enough time to talk about. We talk about all these big headline things all the time and national headline things, and those are important. Don't get me wrong. We'll do more of that later today in the show. But I think also it's just time, you want to take time to give these Wisconsin traditions that we all, a lot of us hold dear, but we kind of also can take for granted every day. And a lot of work goes into turkey management. And I mean, when I was growing up, we didn't have turkey hunting, didn't have wild turkeys. That was a conservation effort to reintroduce turkeys. And now, of course, if you ask people, a lot of people will say we got too many darn turkeys, and many of which are in Madison, in the state capital. you ever had a turkey fly in front of you, and like
it's so weird,
hit your car?
Not hit my car, no.
Oh, they can cause massive damage.
Oh, they definitely can.
I've known people whose windshields were taken out by a turkey. Not fun.
Yeah, my dad once showed me a video of somebody who was goose hunting, not a turkey, but still, a goose is not as big as a turkey, but it was flying overhead and like kind of bowled into somebody and broke their arm, and they're lucky that that's where it hit them.
Good gosh. Yeah. You ever been to, what are your feelings on turkey hunting, but also have you ever had an encounter with a turkey? I mean, with a car or otherwise. 715-388-7155. Or also we could ask you, what's your favorite cheese? What's your number one favorite cheese? If you could only take one cheese with you to a desert island, assuming they had a refrigerator on said island, what would be your number one cheese? Cheese and turkey hunting. 715-388-7155. 715-388-7155. This is the Todd Allball Show. We're talking turkey, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Come on, let's turkey try.
Welcome to the Hen House. It is 8:50. This is the Todd Allball Show, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network. As Amers has dialed up a little turkey music, and like that was not too short, I assume.
No, it was not. It was Little Eva with Let's Turkey Trot.
Oh, Little Turkey Trot. All right, very good. Well, we're talking about turkeys. Bonus spring permits from the Wisconsin DNR available this week. You may have a wait list, but you can try to get on and get one. Only $10 if you're a Wisconsin resident. $10 for a bonus turkey permit. Not bad at all. Also talking Wisconsin cheese this morning. What is your favorite cheese? 715-388-7155. Again, area code 715-388-7155. It's a hard... I mean, a fresh cheese curd, and I'm talking like it's been out of the vat a short time. A fresh cheese curd is hard to beat. And on the other end, like a 10 or 15 year aged cheddar, either from Hooks or Car Valley. Really good stuff. But what's your favorite cheese? 715-388-7155. Would love to hear from you this morning as to what your favorite cheese is, what you enjoy with cheese. Because, you know, there's a lot of good things you can, you know, go with cheese. But yeah, for me, it would probably be either a fresh cheese curd or a 10 or 15 year aged cheddar. That would be my favorite. Let's go to the phones. Have a phone caller this morning, John, in one of my favorite municipalities in Southwest Wisconsin, the great municipality of Boaz. John and Boaz, how the heck are you this morning?
I'm pretty good. I have a real good turkey story for you.
That's fantastic. What is it, John?
I had bought 50 baby turkeys, and I put them in the barn and made a nice cozy spot for them.
All right.
And I put my dog in the barn to keep the cats away from the turkeys.
Okay.
Well, when I came home from work, there wasn't a beak, a feather, or a foot anywhere. Except my dog was laying on the side with a full belly.
Oh, my God. Your dog ate the turkeys.
Yep, every single one of them.
50 turkeys.
That's what you call a Thanksgiving dinner. Wow. So the dog, literally, the fox was supposed to guard the hen house, or the dog was supposed to guard the turkey house, and he ate all the turkeys.
Yeah.
And the cats are probably just looking at you thinking, and you thought we were the ones you had to watch out for.
Doggone it.
That's fantastic. Do you turkey hunt?
No, I don't.
All right. You were just raising turkeys to sell, or just for the hobby, or what?
Yeah, just for the food.
Right, yeah. No, it's great. It's great eating, that's for sure. That's fantastic. That's a great story, John. We appreciate you. How are things out in Boaz this morning?
Oh, we got almost a foot of snow right now.
Wow. That's, yeah.
Or half a foot.
Right. No, it's hopefully those warm temperatures are going to keep on coming, and we can get some of that to melt and and get going. So we appreciate you. Listen, John, thank you so much for being a caller, being a listener. You have a great day out there in Boaz.
Thank you.
Yep, thank you. That was a great call. That was,
man, that must have been a hungry dog to eat 50 baby turkeys. Also, just wow.
See, that's exactly what we're looking for. If you got a story like that, give us a call. 715-388-7155. Again, area code 715-388-7155. A turkey story, a turkey hunting story, or what's your favorite cheese?
I had some friends growing up who had a hobby farm, and they had turkeys as well.
Really?
For food. They were like albino turkeys. Every single one, they were white. It was weird, but they had a bunch of them, probably like
albino 20 turkeys. Or
so. I don't know. They're probably not actually albino.
They're just white turkeys.
Just white turkeys.
I don't think they're albino.
You're right. Turkeys. I just hadn't seen white turkeys before or since. I didn't know it was a thing.
I think albino turkeys are protected. I'm not sure.
Yeah, that probably.
But look, those things can be vicious on a farm.
Yeah, we went out to feed them some mornings I had spent the night at their house.
They have spurs, you know, on their feet, and I mean, they can be nasty. A turkey can be nasty.
These ones were pretty friendly. Sometimes a bit too much so. Like, you'd go out to feed them, and they'd just crowd around you, and they were so dumb about trying to get to food. And one of the brothers in that family, he'd take his little cup of turkey food and he'd be holding it up and they'd all be trying to get at it. And he'd like lightly bonk one on the head with it. And they'd just stand there unflinching like, no, this is food. This is for me.
Too friendly. Reminds me of an old Johnny Carson line from his Karnak, The Magnificent Days. May a turkey in heat romance your shin for the month of November.
Yeah, nothing like that. Not that kind of being too friendly.
Not that kind of turkey. Oh, that's fantastic. That's great. Well, yeah. I mean, wow. I mean, you never know what's happening out there in Boaz. I mean, you got 50 baby turkeys, and I mean, that's a great story, though, right? I mean, can you imagine the dog? The dog's just looking at John, thinking, "Yeah, you leave me just to watch these boys. You come back in a couple of hours, and the dog just devours the turkeys."
I wonder how the dog felt after that, like physically, if it got sick from eating 50 turkeys.
Well, John said he was just laying there with a belly full of turkey, just stretched out in the hay, relaxing. That's a great story. Give us your story on turkeys or cheese. What's your number one cheese? 715-388-7155. Again, area code 715-388-7155. That's a great way to start the day. Did you know, by the way, there are nearly 100 cheese factories across the state of Wisconsin?
I did not, but I'm not surprised.
According to Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, a story there, 90% of Wisconsin milk, 90%. Of Wisconsin milk made into cheese. More than 2.8 billion, with a B, pounds of cheese per year, or 11 pounds for each person in the United States. That's a lot of cheese. Cheese, that's a lot of cheese. Wisconsin produces 600 varieties of cheese. Brick and Colby were the first created in Wisconsin, and Limburger, the world's first foulest smelling cheese, is made only in Monroe, Wisconsin. Big down there in Monroe. And of course, you know, don't even get me started on cheese days, which we don't have cheese days this year because it's so big, it only happens every other year.
But here's the question we all should be asking.
Yeah.
Where's the beef?
Well, that's in July. July is a National Beef Month. Where's the beef?
Good to know. Okay, beef. Well, now I know.
Beef,
now it's answered.
Beef is what's for dinner. I know the guy who came up with that line, and he came home one night, and he said, Cindy, what's for dinner? And she goes, I don't know, Bill. And she goes, it's just beef. And he goes, beef again? And she goes, look, Bill, it's what's for dinner. And that's how the entire thing was born. Beef, it's what's for dinner. We'll come back with some more beefier news, hour number two. This is the Todd Allball Show, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.